Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm addicted to anointing. When somebody has a unique presence or an ability on their life to do something, I get next to it. I like it. I identify it when I can. I see it. I feel like it's a strong companion to what I feel like God's called me to do. I have an anointing, a special presence of God on my life to lead this church. I have a special anointing on my life to be a mom. I've had it my whole life, since I had kids. And some of us have anointing that we don't even know that it's an anointing that we carry. God's presence to be able to do something specifically good, even better than most people can, because it's the anointing, it's the presence of God on you to accomplish something that He willed, that He called. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so we talked about the anointing of the house, we talked about this particular church, the prophetic anointing that would be on it in the office of prophetic things. And today I want to talk to you about anointing opposition. Anybody that, quiet, you want to know it, you want to learn it, I want you to learn it. It's vital that you learn it. Because if you don't overcome the opposition that comes against you, you'll never walk in your anointing. That would be like being in church your whole life and never experiencing Jesus.
Yes.
Did you know people do that? They lose their faith. I have a massage therapist who's it's a man, he calls himself an atheist. He's come in here and played Santa for us a couple times, but I was just talking to him the other day, and it's like you can be around church. He started out as a Christian in church his whole life. Up to this certain thing happened. He was a cop, police officer, turned massage therapist, because he had a really bad accident. It was tragic. And he had to learn how to walk again and all these things. It was a couple years of his life. He told me the story, because this is a talking massage therapist, not my favorite. But he was talking and telling me these stories. And why would he do that? It's the anointing on my life to speak a prophetic word back to yours. Even when I'm trying to get a massage. Anywhere that I am, because it's on my life. You have things on your life too. And just like I have opposition, you're going to have opposition as well. Especially if I have opposition, you're going to have opposition as well. That's what we do. We're built for it, though. We're made for it. We're made to carry His presence, and we're made to succeed. So my massage therapist was telling me that he turned atheist after his accident. So when did you turn atheist? After my accident. I'm like, are you serious? That's the time to turn all your faith up on high, because He saved you. You didn't die. It's all about your perspective and how your mind can switch. But the enemy always comes in when you're vulnerable.
Right.
He always comes in when you're weak, when you're having a hard moment, when things aren't right. And I'll tell you what, he'll make sure things aren't right all the time if that's your trigger.
Right.
He always comes after you when you're vulnerable, when you're hurt, when you're weak. Did God really? Where's your God? How come with things like this, with accusation? So interesting, this guy, he's been my massage therapist for years. Took a little hiatus, and now we started doing it again. And he told me he's going to convert to Judaism. And I was like, I'll take it. I go, you mean the God of the Torah, right? The God, Father God. Yeah, I could buy into that. I'm like, before long, you'll be praying in tongues. I love it. So the idea, though, is there's an opposition to your anointing. There's a presence of God that comes on you to endow you with specific things, and there's an enemy that opposes your life, right? In the book of Isaiah, he prophesies this. It's pertaining to Jesus, and Jesus even reads the same portion of Scripture later. And I'm going to read it to us, and you lean in, and I want you to, when you hear the word me, think of yourself. The word is alive and active. It can divide a bone from its marrow. It can speak life to you in the middle of the circumstance that you're in, if you let it. You just have to open up and let it in. Okay? And here's what it says, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Not because I'm God. I'm not God. I'm just a little Christ. I'm just a Christian. I'm a Christian. Christian who's a disciple of him. And I believe that if he said, greater works will you do than I did when I'm on the earth, then he means for me to carry an anointing that he puts on my life. Okay? He's God. He's the one. But the Spirit of the Lord is also upon me. And I want you to just breathe it. Let it come on you. As Isaiah was saying it back in the day. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and opening of prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall rebuild old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Wow. You're more than you think you are. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Lord, let it make sense to us. Help our spirits that are hungry like that deer panting for water, thirsty for you, God. Help us to receive it in the name of Jesus. You can pray for anointing. You can ask God to give you certain spiritual gifts. Remember last week we read, desire earnestly to have spiritual gifts so that you can do your ministry of reconciliation. It's a lot easier to do a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling someone to God. First of all, if you like people, stop saying you don't like people. You do. You know what else? Like yourself. If you don't like yourself, you probably won't like people. Give yourself a break. You're made in the image of God. It's offensive to God if you don't like you. He made you.
That's right.
And he made you the way that you are, with your calling, with your desire, with your bent, with your personality. And whatever it is, it's also that you can lift up the name of Jesus that all men might be drawn to him. It's not for you. It's for him. You can ask God, give me an anointing. You can try to emulate someone's anointing. You can try to copy someone's gifting or calling, someone that you look up to. And you can even ask God for that too. Why not? See what he says. See what he does. But he'll put in you your specific bent. Do you know what it is to be bent in a certain way? What does the Bible say? Train up a child in the way they should go according to their bent and their talent and their personality. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. We're training up disciples in the way they should go according to your bent, according to your personality. What floats your boat, man? What does it for you in the kingdom?
Right.
Do that. And then also help me clean the church and mow the grass. You know, you don't have to be anointed for that. You just got to be, you know, got to be helpful. You got to have ownership. Remember when you say, we and us include yourself. Okay. Only God can give you an anointing in a way that it suits you. And you know that it's him. Like, I used to think that everybody would encounter a person and they spill their whole life to them. Not true. Me and my family, every time, all the time. It's in the house. It's probably on you too as a Christian. And it's not because you're so wonderful and they trust you with everything. It's because there's an anointing on you to receive it and to minister. It's too good. Remember the four P's real quick? I'm going to tie all this stuff together. I got a good message for us today. I got a word of the Lord for us today. That's why I come here. I come here for the word of the Lord. And when I leave here, I'm astounded that it came out of this. I'm like, wow, God, you are good.
Yeah.
You know what to do and you know what to say. Because it's been a little dry for me. Ever since my mom passed, it's only been a few months. Her picture's right here on the front. My niece made me this beautiful memorial. Her picture's right there. I believe she could watch over me, but my mom already told me the day before she died she probably wasn't even going to look at her funeral. She goes, I'm going to be busy. I got a lot of catching up to do. Do whatever you want. Okay? Four P's, pursue God. He certainly pursues you. Pursue God. Carve out a time. Pray. Talk to him. And talk to him about the things you stopped talking about. Pray. Become a people of his presence. That you change the atmosphere in every room that you go in. Because you have anointing. Yeah. For real. Pursue. Pray. People of presence. presence possess the land. We've been camping out on possess the land for a while. Possess the land is important today because it's your anointing. I want you to grab a hold of it. Pass the opposition that's trying to forbid you from possessing it. Oh, what did she say? Possessing the land. Just like the giants we just talked about a few weeks ago in the land of Joshua and Caleb, they were very old. They were very old when they took that mountain land. You know what that means? Some of the strongest people sitting right here. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're done. It means you're smarter than everybody else, so go do it again. Won't God give you the biggest piece, the largest portion, the most beautiful mountainous ground? Won't every giant come down in Jesus' name? It will. But you have to fight. So there's a conflict that comes, an opposition between you and your ground. And today, I mean, there's so many Bible heroes. They exist for a reason. You know, we've talked about this theme for a while, too. I feel like God encapsulates things we're learning, like, each year. It has, like, a little different flavor, a little different kind of theme. And I love the way he does it. You know, the four P's have been the foundation of everything we're teaching here this year. And maybe forever, if God will grace us with that. But there's something about pointing out different things. Like we talked about, if God wanted David to become a king, he didn't give him a crown, he gave him Goliath. Right? Remember that? What an epic eye-opening aha.
Right.
God wants Esther to become the queen, and she does get a crown, but she's got to risk her life to go before the serious Persian king that the people of Israel might be spared and saved. And they were.
Yeah.
He gave her a crisis. Joseph. God wants him to be the governor. He gets his murderous brothers to throw him in a pit with a pretty coat on. He's got to go all the way to Egypt and make his way through the ranks, all the way to second in command. There's always an opposition to anointing. Today I want to talk about Nehemiah. There's so many. I'm going to talk about these for the next few weeks, as long as God will let me. And we'll have the advance. We'll roll out some of that when we come back from there. But through the end of the year, let's overcome opposition.
Yeah.
You're made for it. You think you're tough because you're from the street? No. You're tough because there's an anointing that God put on your life to slay giants.
Yes.
You're tough because God gave you a backbone that when you match it up to the word of God, you can see you're a giant killer. You're a vampire slayer. You destroy demonic hosts. You just don't know it yet. He's showing you this bit by bit. You have an anointing to bring down strongholds in the name of Jesus, Milo. Nehemiah had an anointing to rebuild. He had it from the book of Isaiah where it said, rebuild the ancient ruins. Nehemiah, from Isaiah chapter 61. They shall rebuild old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair ruined cities. And this guy, Nehemiah, I mean, you can just put the chapters up as I talk, because I'm not going to read you 7-8 chapters of Nehemiah, but I'm going to cover it pretty good. In chapter 1, there's a calling and a response. A calling to do the work of rebuilding that city, rebuilding the wall of that city. Now, it's not just like you go out and build a wall around your garden. It's not just a pile of rocks. It's a house made out of rock, attached to another house made out of rock, and another one all the way around the city. And it's destroyed. And so Nehemiah hears this, you know, hears this word. One of his friends come. He's like Daniel. He doesn't live in his own town anymore. He's groomed. He has earned favor with the king so that he becomes the cupbearer of the king. He's a servant in the palace that brings the drink to the king. And before the king drinks it, he drinks it. And then there's this dramatic pause to see if he dies.
Right.
And if he doesn't die, the king's like, awesome. And the king starts to have a drink too. Can you imagine if that's your job? If that's my job, do you know what I'm doing? I'm spying on the kitchen. I'm in there every meal. What you cook? What you put in there? What is that? And I'm going to make sure all those people love me. I'm going to bring gifts. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to, oh, you need to do the dishes today? I got you. Whatever it takes, because I don't want to be poisoned to death. And just for historical wisdom, this king that he's getting ready to get favor from, Esther had to go in and earn his favor. Next generation saw everything that happened with Haman on the gallows. Saw the wisdom of Queen Esther. She's still probably alive. This king, Artaxerxes. And so one day, Nehemiah, you know, has some friends visit. And he says, how's Jerusalem? How's it doing? You know, and his friends tell him, it's terrible. It's burned down. And everyone who lives there is in fear. It's a terrible situation. It's horrible. And everyone is distraught. And there's no hope. And you know what Nehemiah does? He goes before the Lord. And he cries. And he weeps. You know what we do? We get so hard in our heart. We're just like, forget it. Come, Jesus. Come and let it all burn. And we're so tired of trying to defend. We're made for it. We're made for standing in the gap between lost and found. We're meant to be a minister between that broken place and that healed place. We're actually a burnt stone that builds the wall.
Yes, that's right.
Do you know why it's important that the wall is rebuilt? If the wall is not built, the city is vulnerable. Without walls, the citizens of Jerusalem are completely exposed to constant raids, plunder, whatever hostile physical attacks on the women and all the hostile enemies. There's no wall. The religious culture would think it was a disgrace and it would be like, where's your God? You're not even protected. We see what's happening to you. And all the people around about, like Sanballat and Tobias, these guys who are governors of different lands, they're going to gain wealth because they're going to plunder and raid. They don't want you to build a wall again. There's a loss of identity when the wall is broken down. I'm speaking to the backbone of your very existence this morning, church. God wants to restructure you in a way that your identity comes back to you, that you're not vulnerable to the kingdom of darkness, that you belong, that you understand who you are and whose you are. It's important that there's a wall, that there's a safety in community. So Nehemiah, that's his heart. That's why he's weeping and fasting and praying and going before God. And he says things to God. I pray, God, verse 5, Lord God of heaven, great, awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those you love. You, for those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, for your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you, both my father's house and I. What do we say around here? Repentance is a cure. God gives a vision, you respond to it. You pray to God with repentance. You ask for forgiveness, and you bring his word back to him. The next things he starts to talk about is, hey God, remember what you said to Moses? That you would bring us out of that land and you'd take us to a place you would show us? Isn't that our inheritance? You want to see God move? Remind him what his word says. You want to remind God what his word says? You better know what it says. Get in there and let him speak something whole to your life about who you're supposed to be and who we're supposed to be. And then God will move. Verse 11, Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servant who desires to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day. And he says, for I was the king's cupbearer. I was the king's cupbearer, Lord. How can I do this thing? It's not like you can get time off unless you have favor. So Nehemiah goes in there before the king, and he had never been sad. The Bible says he's never been sad in the presence of the king before. But the king saw his face, and he said, what's going on? Why are you sad? He said, this is sorrow of heart. I can see it all over you. And Nehemiah goes, Lord, you're the king, live forever. You know, he gets real scared. It's real dangerous not to please the king. This we know from Esther and Vashti. Lord, live forever. The king says, what is it? And he goes, my whole hometown, it's Jerusalem. It doesn't have any walls. It's ruthless there. My people are being murdered and sieged and plundered. And my heart's broken. I want to see those walls built. I want to see stability come again in my country. Now, keep in mind, they're very well aware of everything that happened with Esther. Okay? You remember that story, right?
Yeah.
You guys go read that on your own time. I don't have time to read that whole thing. But Esther brings it to a place where the people who became the enemies of God hung on some gallows that they built for the Jewish people. And they remember these stories. They know that there's a God in heaven. They know that he's powerful and wonder-working. And you know what this king does? He's like, why don't you go do it? How long do you think that'll take? It's going to take a while. And then he gets a moment of boldness. Nehemiah goes, well, will you give me some papers that say the king said I could do this? So that the king is in charge of it and I can actually go and move without being destroyed. King gives him his favor, gives him papers. He goes on the way, gives him construction crew, gives him some money. Let's go get some stuff done. Here's some food. Here's some guards. Let's make this thing happen. And he moves in that direction. It's a powerful time, man, to move in what you feel like God has called you to do. A dream comes to pass with busyness and effort. So Nehemiah gets the king's permission, gets the letters, gets this little group of men, he goes on the way, and then he gets to work. I'm just going to speak to some of us. Work feels like opposition to us. But a dream comes to pass, book of Ecclesiastes, a dream comes to pass by busyness and great effort. It doesn't just happen. Women's advance isn't just happening in 3 weeks.
Right.
It's been happening because of planning and meeting and structuring and strategizing and money. All over the place, coming together that we could have that sacred space carved out at the hand of God by his anointing. Nehemiah didn't build that wall, just go there and start putting rocks together. He went to all the governors around that area. This is what I'm doing. He had a strategy, he had a plan, and he went to work. And when he starts, you know, you can imagine, the stones of the gate, it's burnt down. It's burnt. B-U-R-N-T is what it says. Not burned, but burnt. Burnt, scorched stone. I looked up, why don't stones... why are they still there after fire? It makes them harder, actually. They don't burn. They don't break. They don't disintegrate. Just like us. I'm a burnt stone, baby, all the way through. Right in the middle of the gate. Right in the middle of the wall, doing my part. Stone upon stone upon stone. That the next generation might grab and build on what I built here. For Jesus. For his name, for his glory. Burnt stones built the wall. The wall is made of burnt stones. It's built of fractured people, broken people that were plundered, raped, attacked, spoken ill of. Those are the stones that were built on top of each other. And when Nehemiah went there with that vision to build that whole city, well, I know they did it in 52 days. And he starts out by himself. And he can do it. He's a worker. He's got a trowel. That means he's scooping up mortar, putting it on that burnt stone, and then putting another burnt stone right on top, right where it goes. And another. And another. And you know what happened? Miraculously, the people of the city were like, what's that? What is that? What are you doing? What is that? What is that women's advance? What is that? What is that night of worship? What is that? What are people doing? You got a dance troupe there? Why? What is that? What glory is surrounding that? And they looked upon Nehemiah, and they came to join him and help him. And it talks about all these different governors and regions, and they group their people together. And then they go and help him to build this wall. A certain group of priests and Levites in this particular time build the whole gate back together and reinforce it. Somebody takes a portion of something to rebuild this thing all along the way. Are you tracking with me? Can you feel how this is so good? It's like once you set your mind to what the Lord has called you to do, and you receive the anointing, the instruction to do it, and then you get to work busy with what he's called you to do, other people come alongside of what God's called you to do, and then it starts to breathe a whole lot of life, starts to look a lot more like a fortified city. And then you get some serious opposition coming at you. Chapter 4, these couple jerks show up. And they say the meanest stuff. They say the meanest stuff. I mean, they're just like, look at this ridiculous wall. A fox could climb on that and it would fall down. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in maybe 5th or 6th grade, I might have gotten a little scrap over that. Today, I would just ignore that and keep going, as they did. And no one got disheartened. You know why? Because when opposition starts to come at you, you better trust that you're doing something right and something good and something worth doing. Anything worth doing is hard.
Right.
It's hard. So do it. You can do hard things. And so they're out there, and these guys start coming around, huh? Well, they're not really giving in to our, we're not going to be able to criticize them to death. Let's kill them. Let's hide and wait, and we'll kill them. And so you know what they got to do now? They got to set up guards at the night watch. We have people that come in here and pray when you're not here. You're nowhere near here. Come in here and pray that you might hear from the Lord. Come in here and pray that you'll be healed in your body, healed in your mind, have clarity of mind, have purpose all over your life. You're never even here. We lay hands on every seat. We put oil on every chair. Lord, please speak your vision. Speak your wisdom. Put your health in this place, Father. Do your work in the name of Jesus. Pray for it all the time. We're behind the scenes keeping a guard. We walk the perimeter of the property. I even drive it too because I'm kind of lazy about that. But I'll drive around this thing and I'll be speaking the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, around about this camp. That no weapon formed against us would prosper. That no harm would come to us who dare to dwell in here. In Jesus' name. We can live in a place where we're not vulnerable because we have the identity of Christ on the inside of us. Just like Nehemiah did here. It's powerful. And this wall gets built and gets established. They hold a trowel in one hand, building the wall, and a sword right here.
Yeah.
Here's my trowel. Oh! Don't. I got to defend what God's called me to do. The Lord wants a defense for what you build. You can't just come in here and muck up what God is building.
That's right.
Because if you do, you're going to face the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of the Lord coming right out of our mouth that defies anything that will try to defy what God is building. It's strong. It's not controlling. It's powerful. It's safe. You can live under that. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Man, Sanballat, what a liar. They set up in all that weight. You know why he did that? Because he's the governor there. He doesn't want those guys to prosper. Because if they prosper again, he won't be able to. If they put that wall around, he's got to go all the way around to get goods. They can't just come straight through. Too bad, bro.
Right.
God gave us this land. We're going to do it. You can work with me. You can prosper too. Not if you're trying to kill me, though.
Right.
You can go around. Maybe if the Lord lets you live. Okay. Strategies of opposition recorded in this book. See if you don't see them in your own life. Chapter 2, just the mockery. Mocking. Mocking what you do. That little wall couldn't even hold a fox. Chapter 4, conspiracy to fight. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to take you down. Word's getting a little stronger. Social media is very big on this right now. Intimidation, political slander. I mean, it's everywhere, people. Opposing the anointing on your life. I don't know, maybe you're too busy watching Netflix to notice what I'm talking about. I want to look up and see what God has called us to do and put some work in. Don't you? You're worthy of the call of God. He called you by your name. There's infiltration. There's different marital ties that are broken. There's tactics that mirror satanic schemes to hinder what God's put in your heart, what God's put in your life. You can expect some resistance when you're advancing the kingdom of God. Do you expect it? And then are you like, you know, we talk about this too. It is easier to, if you can sleep through the storm, sleep through it. Jesus gave us that, right? He gave us the example. If you can sleep through the storm, sleep through it. But if it rages too strongly, don't keep trying to sleep. Get up and defend what God has given you by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. Your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual for breaking down strongholds. Are you getting it yet, church?
Yes.
Are you getting it, Joanne? You feeling it? Your weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty in God for destroying strongholds, for changing your very life. 2 Timothy says this, New Testament. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Nehemiah's response, prayer, communal unity, And he models godly leadership. So good. Spiritual opposition may manifest through political, social, or economic pressures. We talked about that. God's sovereignty prevails. Listen to this from Romans. Those he predestined, he also called. He predestined you with an anointing. He gave you an anointing on your life to do something special. There's an endowment of presence on you for something. Only God can name it. I can help you find it. I can help you dig for it if you don't know. I can help you step forward if you do know. But I can't give it to you. That has to come from him. It says, those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Will you stand up with me? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of revved. I'm kind of ready for God to do something in our city. I'm kind of revved up. I'm kind of like excited about God moving in and among us. I feel like he's going to do it. I feel like he's going to do something beyond our expectation. What is that scripture? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it even entered into the hearts of men. What God has prepared for those of us who love him. You're more than you think, church. You're anointed for goodness. I'm going to tell you what. Can you go out of here today? We printed up these little things. Are they on the seats? Where are they?
Some have them.
Some are on the seats. If you don't see Christine, she'll tell you where the pile of them are. Look, this right here, this is this tiny little thing right here takes you from a 10% Christian to a 90% Christian. How is that, Pastor Lisa? Well, here's the thing. When you sit here and listen to these marvelous teachings, I mean, yeah. I don't know where you're going to get better teaching.
Yeah.
Sit here and have all this poured out on your life, and you hear it, and then you leave, you retain 10%, which is shockingly awful, because there was a lot more than 10% that was good. If you talk about this just for a couple minutes before we leave with somebody, ask these questions to somebody, or just pick one that sticks out to you. Talk to somebody about these things before you leave. Do you know how much of it you'll retain if you just do that? If you hear yourself talking about these things, you'll retain 50% of what was taught here this morning. The word is powerful like a two-edged sword. It's a meal that God prepares. You know, there's places in here it talks about eating the fat, drink the sweet. This is how they close out Nehemiah. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, give portions to those in need. We built the wall. We're celebrating.
Yeah.
It's here. We've done it. Our God has given us security. He's given us identity again. Our walls are built. We're secure inside. Right? If you teach this to somebody, have a Bible study. Have get online with somebody. Scotty, call your daughter. Teach her what we talked about this morning. You'll retain 90%. That is what I'm looking for in here. That's what I want for you. The greater measure, the whole portion of what God has. You feel me, church? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for us to understand anointing, for us to receive your calling. I pray for us to come against anointing opposition in the name of Jesus, that we don't sit around and be excuse makers for the rest of our lives, that today is the day of salvation, that we step into it today, your calling and your purposes, that we might be the rebuilder of broken down things for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I love you guys. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org. Or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.